Yo, can you hear?
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Punchlines in Politics. I'm Braden and this is Josh.
Hey guys.
And today we are going to be talking about free speech. Now, before we get into this episode, do not forget to follow us on Twitter. Please follow us at and Punchlines for cool tweets. It's always fun. And updates about new episodes. So go ahead, check that out, check us out. If nothing else, you'll be entertained by the discussions we have on there. So without further ado, let's get started with our discussion about free speech. And of course, we'll wrap it up with some epic memes.
Here we go. So this is a, you know, light topic, especially right now. Nothing major happening.
No, nothing major at all that regards to free speech.
I can't think of any reason why this would be a delicate topic.
Well, it's for that exact reason that we are going to talk about it today.
Exactly. Do you want to start us off?
I would. Thank you, Josh. So, First Amendment. First one, the Bill of Rights, the first one in our Constitution talks about the freedom of speech. Now, what does that mean? What does that entail? What's free speech? What's free speech? What's hate speech? How do we get around that? How do we differentiate that in our legal system? All those very good questions. Do we have all the answers? Probably not, but we're still going to try our best.
So, one of the things I wanted to start out with was the, you know, the recent things that's come in the news with a lot of people being shut down on Twitter. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh boy. Twitter, Twitter, Twitter. Now, to get started with the whole Twitter debacle, let it be known first that big tech companies such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, these companies are currently being investigated for monopolies. It's something that is quite frowned upon in America if you've been here long. And Congress is currently conducting this investigation. You might have seen Mark Zuckerberg a couple of times being kind of talked about amongst Congress. They've had him in there to answer questions before. He's been under oath answering questions. And, you know, that's not something that's new. Facebook has been under that scrutinous spotlight, if you will, of monopolies for quite a time. And so it's important to remember that these companies are not beyond reproach. Although we have the freedom of speech, these big tech companies are still, you know, they're still able to make big mistakes. And by big mistakes, I mean literally forcing out the competition and forming yourself into a monopoly. So whether or not you agree with big tech companies or not, that's the reality of the thing.
Little quick econ lesson right there.
Right there. So whether or not you agree with that, we're not telling you to take a stance. We're just saying that's what's happening right now. These companies are not beyond reproach. In fact, quite the opposite. Big tech companies rarely have your personal interests at hand. So just keep that in mind when we kind of are hesitant to give Facebook or Twitter a good name.
So to start this whole conversation out, yes, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff is technically private companies. Yes, that means different rules apply. And yes, it means that the topic, you know, is a little bit different than just normal rights of free speech, which we kind of touched on a little bit last episode. But I just wanted to know, you're Braden, I'm talking to you.
Oh, thank you.
Your ideas about the whole private company versus free speech argument that's going on right now.
Well, you know what? This is something that is brought up a lot amongst actually handlers of Twitter and Facebook. A lot of people, you find that a lot of people today are saying, well, it's fine for Twitter to more recently ban Donald Trump, our former president, from Twitter, and Mark Zuckerberg from, you know, from Facebook and Instagram and so on. Now, this is probably a result of our cancel culture. We're seeing that a lot of big corporations and big tech companies are doing their best to cancel former President Donald Trump. Now, whether or not you agree with that or disagree with that, we're not going to tell you what to think. But that is something that's happening, and that is a result of our cancel culture. So kind of going into that, I believe privacy in a certain in many cases in companies should be respected. There was a case a couple of years ago, maybe some of you have heard about this, concerning a cake maker and a gay couple, and that gay couple wanted a cake made for them specifically by this cake owner, and this cake owner professed to be a Christian, and he denied service on the basis that he was a private company, a private business, and he had the ability to basically deny access to his product if he deemed it so. And, you know, that's the prerogative of private businesses. Now, whether or not that has anything to do with discrimination, I mean, we saw that in the Supreme – that was the issue with the Supreme Court case that went to the Supreme Court, was that whether or not it was a direct discriminatory act by this baker. Eventually, it was found that no, it wasn't. I mean, but we're not going to get into the details of that. But that's a great example of how private – organizations and private companies, private businesses, and et cetera, can conduct themselves. So it's very important to realize that privacy for private companies, it matters. However, there is a fine line between privacy in a company and being able to conduct yourself as a private company. And there's also restrictions of public access. So I don't really have an answer for whether or not I agree with certain bannings for Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc. But I can tell you this, it's not going well for Twitter and Facebook. I mean, you see their stocks. Twitter, a couple of days after they banned President Donald Trump, they lost billions and billions of dollars, mostly in the stock market. Their stocks flopped. In fact, our whole entire stock market did very poorly after that happened. Now, does that have any relation to the banning of Donald Trump or not? I mean, it's probably fair to say yes, because he, whether we like it or not, in America, there is a large following with Donald Trump. A lot of people are pretty devout followers of this guy. And
apostles.
apostles, sure. Let's go with that. Apostles. No, but it's true. There are people who would follow this man into the depths of hell if he asked them to. Now, that means that when you do something that directly, I would say, not necessarily offends, but it affects these Trump supporters, they are going to take away their business from you. So, yeah, of course, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, they're going to lose a lot of money. I don't know whether or not they knew that going in, but it's kind of hard not to think that that's true. Like, that would be something that is affecting it. So, no, I don't really have a position whether or not I think that that should be happening. However, I think we need to take a look at how we are using our social media effectively, because if we are using it to do certain things that would promote violence or that would be detrimental to a society, yes, that should be banned from a public forum. However, mm-hmm. you should not ban something from a public forum just because you disagree with that opinion. There is a fine line there. You shouldn't be allowed to ban someone from a public forum because you disagree with their opinion. I mean, imagine myself going into an Apple store in New York City, and someone saw that I was wearing, let's say I was wearing a Trump hat, a MAGA hat, and they kicked me out because they didn't like that I was wearing a MAGA hat. Now, is that their own prerogative as a private business? Probably not. I have done nothing to incite violence. I have done nothing that is against my own rights. I mean, I have every right to walk into an Apple store with the MAGA hat on, and they can't just kick me out because they don't like that I'm wearing that. I mean, they can kick me out if I'm being violent, or if I'm telling people in there to riot, or if I'm shouting, expletives at people. Explicitives, sorry, at people. Like, that's something that I just cannot do. However, you can't just ban me out of that public forum, that public space, which everyone has access to, a right to access, just because you disagree with my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have two things I want to say about this. Number one is kind of a rant. You know, we made the apostle joke, and no matter if you're supporting Trump, supporting Biden, Kamala, or Mike Pence, like any one of them, if you have a politician that's on a pedestal of, oh my gosh, I love them, it's them or nobody, that inherently is so wrong to me. Like, you know, these people are meant to be public servants, not like rock stars. And like, people are like deifying these people. Like, on both sides of the spectrum, I have seen people who have literally deified both Trump and Biden. And that just really makes me scared.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say too, you know, that kind of goes into a little bit of our free speech discussion, kind of not. I mean, obviously you have the freedom to say, oh my goodness, I love Biden, or oh my goodness, I love Bernie Sanders, or oh my goodness, I love Donald Trump. You have the right to say that.
But this is what I'm talking about. I've seen things to the point of there was a Facebook post, and I've seen it both ways. But there was one that said, God bows down to Donald Trump and says he is perfect. And that just was like, what? Like, regardless of what you believe in religion or not, like, that just kind of shocks me a little bit. Like,
yeah,
we shouldn't be putting politicians on these levels.
Yeah, I doubt that. I doubt that that would be any sound doctrine preached.
I really
kind
hope
of
not.
Any kind of religious any kind of religious gathering, I doubt that that would be sound doctrine.
And I don't believe it would be.
But you know, it's something interesting, though, is that we have the right as Americans, like, we have the right to say, oh, I think Donald Trump is God. Now, that is so far from the truth. That is so
sacrilegious.
Well, sure. But guess what? You have the right to say that. You have the right to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think as Americans, we have become so used to deifying these politicians. I mean, look at the cult following behind Ronald Reagan. Look at the cult following behind Barack Obama. The cult following behind Bernie Sanders, AOC.
JFK.
JFK would be one. I mean, there were people who are cult following Donald Trump. There were some who were cult following Hillary Clinton. This is just something that happened. But I want to make it known that this is something that should not happen in American politics. We should not be putting politicians on this pedestal, because they are just people like us. Sure, we hold them to a higher standard, but by holding them to a higher standard, we need to scrutinize most things that they do.
Because regardless of who you believe in or vote in, the whole point of voting that person in is so they can represent the people. So the people need to keep a careful eye on that person, so that when they aren't doing what they say they're doing, like, those people who voted for them are there to hold them accountable. If you vote for someone that you are like cult following, you're not going to see their faults. You're only going to see the good things that happen.
Exactly. And, you know, the whole government for the people and by the people, that means that we need to be extremely careful with what we watch our politicians do.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that when they do something that goes against our morals, each personal belief, that you vote them out. That is how our government works. That if a politician is not representing you, then in the next election,
vote against them.
You vote against them. That is how our system works. And up to this point, it's worked fairly well.
Now,
I'm not saying
before
it's
we
perfect,
get,
but it's fair. It worked fairly well.
Before we get too far, I wanted to go back to the private company. I had a few things I wanted to say about that.
Absolutely.
But I just felt like we needed to say that. real quick.
Absolutely.
And we're not condemning one side or the other. I have seen both sides, Democrat and Republican, do that. So
absolutely. Even though
everyone needs to watch themselves.
Yes. Even though Josh and I might have a specific, like, we're on a political spectrum, sure, but that does not mean that necessarily that we are specifically affiliating ourselves with a certain side or cult following. Quite the contrary.
A registered independent.
We are encouraging logic and reason. We're not encouraging being a flock of sheep shepherded by a politician in shining armor. All right. This is something that is ludicrous, and it is detrimental to our democracy that we are being so easily sewn up in all of this politics to the point where we are praising the politicians that we might align with most for the most part, aligning with them, and then putting them up as some sort of deity. Mm-hmm. We are saying here on Punchlines of Politics, you know what, guys? You're going to hear it right here first. This is something that we don't disagree with, and we encourage foolheartedly. Please don't do this. Think about what you're doing. Think about who you're voting for, and don't just vote for someone because someone tells you to.
Mm-hmm. But back to private companies and everything with that. It was Donald Trump and a lot of other like big conservative ones that I was reading about that were getting banned from Twitter. Now, Twitter was like the main one, and I would agree that I think the banning had a little bit to do with Twitter's stock dropping, but I had also looked, after I had seen that, I looked more recently at its stock record. They have been dropping for like a year and a half now, and Twitter as a whole company is just not doing good. But
this might just kind of seem like as maybe the icing on the cake a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. It definitely increased it by like tenfold. But but the whole thing is that, you know, basically he got banned because of stuff that happened at the Capitol. Now, we're not going to get into that in this episode because of how hot that topic is right now. But you know, basically Donald Trump was banned because of the events that took place in the Capitol. Now, whether you believe that he incited that or not, I'm not going to tell you what to believe. I know what I believe. I'm sure Brayden knows what he believes.
And sure do.
We're not going to tell you what to believe because, honestly, it's so confusing and weird. But, you know, Twitter decided that they couldn't have him on his platform anymore. Now, they have soft banned him before for, like, what, days at a time, Brayden? Is that what it was? Or was it weeks?
I'm pretty sure it was between that. I mean,
yeah.
This isn't something that's quite new. I mean, the total permanent banning is new, but yeah.
Yes, he's been getting soft banned for a couple of years now. Most recently, with all the election stuff, he would get soft banned for, like, a certain amount of fact-checked tweets or something. But I believe that, at least generally, this is not towards this situation, but more of a general overreach of private company in general. With terms and conditions, Twitter is basically saying that they can control what a public forum, what their public forum that they own, is allowed to say and do. Now, is it discrimination to block other people's opinions from coming on to their public forum? That's where it would go to the Supreme Court, because I honestly can't answer that. But it's a hard line to walk when you both own a public forum and write the terms and conditions for it. You technically can do whatever you want. Now, people don't have to go on to Twitter. Like, there are many other options. But because Twitter is so big, that's where people want to go. Like, they don't want to, you know, people started going to Parler and stuff like that. But Twitter was just an easy public forum for Donald Trump to use. And so when he was banned from that, people got really upset. Now, does Twitter have the right to do that? Technically, yes. Should they do it? That's where the big problem comes.
Yeah, and you know, you're probably going to see in the months ahead whether or not they decide that was something that they should have done. If I was a Twitter exec right now, I'd probably be kicking myself a little bit. Not necessarily for the decision I made, but for the repercussions of it. I probably would have put a little bit more thought and effort into my ultimate decision before saying, oh, you know, you're banned forever. And then, oh, great, I just lost $4 billion in a day.
Yeah, because, you know, by technicality, with terms and conditions and the ownership, they can do whatever they want. But should they do it is a different question, you know? And I think that's impossible for Braden and Meyer to answer.
I mean, that's going to be something that is probably going to be answered in the months ahead, because you're already seeing a lot of these companies getting sued for multiple reasons. I mean, the banning of Donald Trump is not just the only lawsuit that's happening right now for big tech, because this is something that has been happening. I mean, you see all the time in social media that these accounts are being either banned or suspended for things that wouldn't even cross most of the common people's mind about being a punishable offenses by any means. And it's something that's totally the prerogative of the organizations. But at the same time, is it something they should be doing? We're going to find that out soon in the months ahead.
As soon as they make a ruling or these lawsuits are decided, I promise Braden and I will make a follow-up episode.
Yeah, I mean,
so we can revisit some of these topics that are really hot.
Let me be clear. It'll only be a very interesting podcast episode if they don't settle. Like, if there's some sort of, like, big tech settlement that's like, all right, piss off, here's $10 million. Like, I don't want to talk about that very long.
I would love to talk about $10 million, just not for them.
Yeah, not for them. Oh, look, some random kid got $10 million for a libel suit. Libel.
Okay, so one more thing I wanted to talk about before we move to general free speech talk was the ethics lawsuit being filed against Ted Cruz. Now, have you heard much about that?
I have not, actually. This is new news to me.
So, 7 different Democrats are filing this ethics lawsuit against him, basically saying that, you know, he and this other Republican senator are helping, like, incite violence and, like, pushing, you know, radical right, like, beliefs and stuff, and, like, advocating for the furtherance of what's happening.
Okay.
And so they are filing these suits to, like, see if they are fit to be on Congress.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I just wanted to know, just generally, because you don't know much of the details, what you think about that.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that go down in politics that really shouldn't. I mean, I think this is probably one of them. Just something that just seems like to me, it sounds like a waste of time. It might not. I mean, who am I to know? I don't really know a whole lot about what is going down in this lawsuit, what it entails. But I will say, I think if I was going to advise these senators right now, I would say maybe put more effort into getting the American people their stimulus checks than putting a lawsuit against 2 Republicans because you don't like them.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I've been reading is that, like, there was sporadic behavior, and he has some of his tweets and stuff. But when it comes down to it, I think people need to just take a deep breath. Everyone needs to breathe. Everyone needs to just slow down. We just need to be like, okay, the election happened. Now what?
You know what? Right now, we're gonna have. You know, right now, I want all who are listening right now. Let's all take a deep breath together as Americans. Ready? 3, 2, 1. don't we feel so much better after taking a deep breath?
Just relax, everybody.
I know I feel better. I don't know about you, Josh, but I feel better after taking
this. Oh, I feel great.
Thank you, Josh. Exactly. And I hope you listeners at home are feeling great, too.
because, you know, we can hate each other all we want.
We shouldn't, and we can.
We can say that there was fraud in the election. We can say, no, there wasn't. We can say there was a little bit. We can say there was a lot of it. None of it matters because we all hate each other too much to actually figure out the truth. That's the core of the problem.
Yeah. And you know what? There is more. I know I said this in a previous podcast, but there is more that unites us as Americans than divides us. But the problem is that today we are so polarized, and the only reason we are polarized is because our politicians are pretty divisive, all considering. If you think about it, these politicians are telling you that, oh, you know, all Republicans or all Democrats, they're idiots, and that they should be treated as such. That's not true. There are knowledgeable people and logical people with different stances in politics and different philosophical stances. That's just the way humans work. Now, the sooner we come to terms with that, the sooner we can actually be a country that's unified.
I think politicians need to take a step back and watch themselves about the way they talk about other people, because you can't really be standing up there going like, oh, this guy's an idiot, or like making up nicknames for people, or like, you know, like just being rude to people on the other side, because it just creates a culture of where that escalates. So now like people use the word libtard, and people use the word, like, they call Republicans, like, some of them Nazis now. Like, it just escalates, because when the people in charge are doing this, why shouldn't I do it? It's fine for them to do it. And that's how escalation starts. That's with violence in general.
Exactly. And you know what? I think I'm going to use a term that's a little interesting, but I think most of you understand what it means. There's a problem with politicians these days with gaslighting. And what I mean by that is you find that a lot of politicians these days are talking major trash against their opponents, you know, being rude, even attacking their very integrity. That is something that just should not be something that is practiced in our political system. However, it is. But then these same politicians who are insulting the other side, all of a sudden when things go their way, they talk about unity and, oh, we need to unite. Ladies and gentlemen, that is gaslighting. What they are trying to do is they are trying to make you think in circles. Oh, these people are the worst people ever, and now, oh, we have to unify with them, and now, oh, they're the worst ever. No. All right, that is gaslighting. Don't let politicians do that to you, because it's a narcissistic tendency is to gaslight.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, keep going.
No, it's fine. Last time I checked, I don't think we want a whole bunch of narcissists in our governmental system. Yeah. That's just me.
But on the opposite side of that, because I think that was the Joe Biden thing, the calling for unity. On the other side of that, with, like, you know, Trump's big thing is he likes to think of nicknames for people. You know, like Sleepy Joe, or, you know, and one of the things that I've noticed is like telling a man who is just as old as you, like saying he has like dementia and stuff, you know, there's no proof that he has dementia. If anything, that's just ageism and like saying he's unfit for the job because he's old. But like, you know, Donald Trump and Joe Biden are like 3 years apart. They're both very old men. So it's like, why even do that? You know, it's just rude. You know, campaigns should be run on your accomplishments. It shouldn't be run on tearing somebody else down. You know what I mean?
I absolutely agree. And for all our future politicians who are listening to this, please, please don't do that. Please.
I saw a shirt the other day that was being sold on Facebook Marketplace. Now, yeah. I apologize because this has some real bad language in it, but this is an actual shirt being sold.
Yeah, but you might want to censor yourself there.
Jeez. Oh, yeah, I'm going to censor myself. But basically it goes F word, Joe, and then derogatory term for females, starting with H. So it all rhymes. And it just goes F, Joe, and the blank. And like, That is so, so disrespectful to talk about anyone that way, much less the vice president of the United States.
Oh, the president now.
Well, it's about Kamala Harris. The rude word is about her. So it's like,
right. Yeah. Of
yeah. Course. Well, so saying,
it's also derogatory to Joe.
Well, yeah. Saying F Joe is also derogatory. But like, yeah. Like, come on. That's so rude. Like, yep, there's
it's uncivil.
There's no reason to do any of that. And then I know, like, there's shirts that say F Trump, and like, just stop. Just relax. Be nice to each other. Politicians want the divide. That's how they keep getting elected the way they do.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? This circles back to our discussion about freedom of speech. Unfortunately, this is all things. Well, not unfortunately. These are things that are protected under our Constitution, because the idea is that we don't have a cap on speech, because we want to make sure that in the future, certain areas of speech aren't banned just because people don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That is a problem. It's a problem when you ban things just because you don't like it. It's the same goes for opinions. Opinions are directly related to freedom of speech. All opinions should be heard. All opinions should be allowed to be said. But we need to have a discussion around opinions that might be wrong, because no one is infallible.
I'm gonna do a hot take here, because we're talking about opinions. This is my hot take. I think cancel culture is the stupidest thing ever. And I'm not saying that because I think that people should always be forgiven for their mistakes. That's not what I'm saying. And some people do deserve to just be taken out of celebrity status. There are a lot of people who deserve that. Charlie Sheen is a good example of where cancel culture was a good thing. Charlie Sheen was one of the most terrible people ever. But cancel culture generally just goes against everything I believe in personally. I believe in, you know, grace and providing second chances and, you know, a chance to improve who you are. Now, if that keeps going, obviously, like, the person's not changing. You don't have to keep providing them grace and chances. But In general, I just think that people rush to condemn you when, you know, they can be doing things just as bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I'm going to have a hot take of my own, Josh, if you don't mind.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
So, here's what I think. I think cancel culture is unnecessary. And here's why. We have something in America called the free market. The free market is literally just this. Each individual has the right to buy something or not buy something, to invest their money somewhere or to not invest their money somewhere, to indulge themselves in a certain product or to refrain. This is the free market, people. This is what this is. The free market allows the freedom to make choices. Each person has the freedom right now to say, oh, I don't think I'm going to use Twitter anymore. And guess what? If every single American stopped – well, if the majority of Americans stopped using Twitter right now, Twitter would cease to exist almost instantaneously. It would just stop. Because guess what? They're not going to have money to sustain their company anymore. And therefore, they are going to basically disappear. All right? And this is where cancel culture is unnecessary. If you think about it, let's say a person you disagree with did something extremely disrespectful to or demeaning to women in the workplace. Well, guess what? It's a part of the free market and privacy for the private companies, that company can discipline it, like show some disciplinary action, or they can let that employee go, as in their rights to do. So when something as far as let's say that a public figure like a celebrity, let's say a celebrity says something that you don't agree with, and you don't agree with it to the point where you just say, I don't think I want to associate my dollars with this person any longer. Guess what? That celebrity who's in a movie, don't go and see that movie. Don't give them the money. Because guess what? That's free market. That is a freedom of choice. You have the choice whether or not you're going to give that person money or not. Now, if they do something that is socially unacceptable, instead of canceling them, we as Americans should use our right to a free market to make that person unsuccessful. And therefore, it would drive them out of their position simply because of the free market. And they would have to find employment or success elsewhere. But it does not affect you any longer. You have done your duty as American because you have decided that you are going to refrain from putting your dollars towards that certain place or person. I believe on a basic level that free market solves almost every problem, both socially and economically. Now, that's a big statement.
That was a good hot take.
But it's a good hot take. But that's I believe that to be true, that the free market solves every problem on a social level and an economic level here in America. In other places, maybe not so much, but here in America, freedom of choice and the free market solves almost every problem socially and economically.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we went off on like a 20-something minute tangent about other freedoms. I think we need to dive back into speech.
But you know what's interesting? You know what's interesting? It doesn't really, though.
It still has an aspect of speech in it throughout this whole episode.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Giving your dollars anywhere, using your money anywhere is a freedom of speech. That's freedom of speech right there.
Yeah.
That's putting your money where your mouth is, I guess.
So this is
so to say.
This is a question that I was asked recently in my First Amendment class that I'm taking right now. And I wanted to ask you this question. Where do you draw the line with speech? Like if you were rewriting the First Amendment, where do you draw the line?
This is a good question. Well, you know, I'm a bit of an enigma, all right? Because I think that there shouldn't be any speech that is restricted. Now that's a super duper big statement.
That's a big statement, buddy.
Because you can think about it all different ways. Like, what do you mean? What about hate speech? What about fighting words? What about words that incite violence? I have an answer to that. There's this political philosopher of the name of J.S. Mills, and J.S. Mills, his big shebang was that opinions should always be heard. I said that a couple minutes ago. Opinions should always be heard, no matter how wrong, no matter how crazy, no matter how much we think it's ridiculous. We have got to listen to them because they could be right. Now, his thing wasn't we should believe racism to be real or racism – well, not real, but racism to be prevalent or racism to be by any means good or right. No. What he was saying was we should have a discussion about every single opinion that we might think is wrong or right, because then we can refine that opinion. I think every word that comes out of a person's mouth has some opinion to it.
That's a fair assessment.
I really do. I think everything has a little bit of opinion to it, and therefore we should listen to everything, not take it all to heart, because again, this is opinions from people who have different perspectives and different lives from us. All right. We need to listen to those opinions and we need to refine them through a discussion. So that's my hot take on the First Amendment. Don't change it. In fact, I think all speech should be allowed.
So I have a similar, I don't remember the guy who you based yours off of.
J.S. Mills.
J.S. Mills. But I have a similar one, but based off of two different people, Rene Descartes and the Declaration of Independence, which was written by a bunch of people, and it doesn't matter. But Rene Descartes is famous for saying, cogito erm sum, which means I think, therefore I am. And so if you are able to think and form these thoughts, you know, you should be allowed to express it. Now, what does that mean for racism? fighting, that's a whole different tangent. But like, there should be no limit to how you can think or how you can talk, as long as it's, in my personal belief, not saying to go kill someone or to start a riot or saying that someone is less than human or anything like that. But with the Declaration, it says that everyone has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, how does that work when someone else's speech gets in the way of one of those things? That's where the First Amendment comes into play. And that's why I think some of the protections they do against hate speech, inciting violence, or like fighting words, that I think that's where it plays in and helps a little bit. No?
It's a hot take.
Yeah.
This episode is full of hot takes.
We're going to get canceled for this one.
Oh, gee, I hope not. Anyone who's listened to this, please don't cancel us. We mean well.
Disclaimer, we don't support racism or fighting or violence.
That really shouldn't be a disclaimer, because you should kind of understand that by what we've been saying, but, you know, you do you.
If somehow you've misinterpreted everything in this episode, please take that to heart.
This episode's for you.
This episode is sponsored by Hot Takes.
All right. Well, yeah, but I think we also would be remiss if we don't talk a little bit about hate speech and violent speech.
Yeah. And I think we should brush a little bit with that against the Capitol stuff. We don't need to dive deep into it, but broad strokes it.
Yeah, just so everyone knows, we were going to do an episode about the Capitol riots, and we decided against it because it seemed to be a little too, how do I say?
Toasty.
Toasty's a good word. Toasty's a good word. It's a bit toasty. And you know what? We're going to leave it at that. It's toasty.
But we're gonna touch on it soon. But not
yet. We're gonna touch on it, but it's gonna be like putting your finger to a sizzling pan. You're gonna put it on and you're gonna take it off really fast. It's just gonna be a little sizzle.
Alright, so why don't you start us out, buddy?
All right. So we would be remiss again if we didn't talk about hate speech and violent speech, because that, whether we like it or not, is a part of the world we live in today. There is speech that is, we might deem as harmful, that we can all agree incites violence and is hateful. I would say that every single racist comment is hateful, okay?
Yeah.
It's hateful.
That was the first non-hot take we've had this episode.
This is not if you disagree with this, you need to look at some of our other podcast episodes if you disagree with that statement. or maybe just like don't listen to us then, I guess. I mean, we would want you to, but like that's your choice, because you're going to disagree with us on almost anything if you think that racist stuff is okay.
Just keep going.
I will. You know, I'm gonna get off of that topic pretty quickly. See, it's that little sizzle. No, but racist statements are hateful. All right, they're hateful. Statements that directly incite violence, like "I'm gonna go bomb this school," that is a violent and hateful thing. Don't do that.
Highly, highly illegal.
Okay, it's. At that point, like, you can say that. Congratulations, you've activated your free speech card by saying, "I'm going to go bomb that school with a microwave bomb." But guess what?
You're a domestic terrorist now.
It's also the freedom of the government to pin you as a domestic terrorist and send the FBI to your door. All right? That's something that's going to happen. Don't do that. All right? What I want to know from you, Josh, is where do you cross the line? Like, we talked about where do we cross the line with all of speech. Like how, if we were going to rewrite the First Amendment or whatever, how would we alter that? Which was a great question, by the way. But right now I want to cover, what do you kind of see as hate speech? What do you kind of see as violent speech? And how do you kind of differentiate them, and what are the connections that you can make between the two, if you can at all?
That's a good question. I think starting with violent speech, because I think it's the more easy one to handle. I think anything that incites injury, death, or like ill will on somebody, you know, like
give us an example,
like tweeting that you're going to blow something up, or tweeting that you're going to hurt someone, tweeting that you hope someone gets COVID, or, you know, I don't think that stuff should be, you know, someone should be allowed to say, like, you shouldn't be able to threaten someone's life, you know? And so I think anything that incites, you know, mass violence, individual violence, death, injury, you know, and to a certain extent, like, it gets foggy around the borders there, but like generally ill will towards someone's life is where I would cut the line. Like, that's not allowed. Now with hate speech, that's a little different. Stuff like racism, you know, any kind of ism that is considered to be like, you know, hateful towards someone else because of something that, you know, is just the way they are. None of that should be allowed. Now, posting an opinion that has nothing to do with that, that offends someone, I don't consider that hate speech. You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. And that's an interesting take on that. You know, I would definitely agree with you wholeheartedly on the violent speech thing. I think it gets extremely foggy when you get to like if you tweet something out, it's like, oh man, you know, I'm not saying I'd be happy if Donald Trump got COVID, but I wouldn't be too surprised or sorry, you know? Like that's something that's like, all right, shut up.
On the line, but like, how do we classify? Yeah, that's the foggy part.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to report you to the authorities for that, but goodness gracious, just maybe think before you speak.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree pretty wholeheartedly with what you have to say about violent stuff. And so as far as it goes with hate speech, you know, I said it before, racism, that's hateful speech. Like, don't do that. I mean, here's something. I mean, I said it before with all, I think all speech should be, you should be allowed to say whatever you like. The repercussions are something totally different, but you should be allowed to say whatever you'd like.
That's a good point.
If somebody says, in the middle of a crowded street, I hate white people. Okay. Guess what? First of all, you're stupid, because you hate white people. Like, what, you hate all white people? Is it just one white person? Is it two white people? Like, who is it? First of all. Second of all, you have no basis for your hatred towards these people. Like, it's ignorant, it's uneducated that you think that these people are any less of a person just because you deem it so.
And this goes for people of any color, like saying I hate black people, I hate any Hispanic color, people, like any way it goes, this is the way it slices.
this goes for anybody, any race of people, and any color of people, any religious background,
any gender,
any political affiliation, any age. All right, that is hate. That is hate speech. And guess what? When you say something that is a part of hate speech, when you say something that shows hatred towards another person, guess what? Prepare to be argued with. Prepare to be told that you're wrong. All right. In fact, we should be doing that. We should be saying, hey, that you shouldn't think this way. This is what my opinion is. And then that goes back to listening to all of people's opinion. I think you should be allowed to say that you hate all white people. But guess what? That means that someone else is allowed to say you're wrong, and here's why.
That's really good. Right? I actually like that.
We should be having more discussions rather than trying to put people down, all right? Because what does putting people down really do? Nothing. In fact, all it does is festers more hatred. Because guess what? they are feeling like they are being oppressed somehow. Now, don't get me wrong, I think racists are bad people. I think those people are uneducated scum of the earth. But guess what? They're going to continue to be that way unless we have a conversation to tell them otherwise. If we do not, then we are essentially allowing it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have more discussions and let's stop insulting people. Okay?
That's the
way we should do it.
Really good. It's just, you know, yeah, I don't understand why people just hate people. Just relax, you know? That's the theme of this episode. It's just take a deep breath. You know, I think the hippies need to come back, honestly.
Yeah, it's probably less illegal narcotics.
Well, yeah, okay, obviously. But I just mean more of a general statement of I think people are just getting too angry.
Mm.
And, you know, we are not each other's enemies. We are all from the same place with the same people, so let's all just try and be friends. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm actually going to petition to make this episode be named Take a Chill Pill.
Absolutely.
Take a breath. All right.
Breathing exercises and relaxing techniques.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Punchlines in Politics. Welcome to episode 3. Take a chill pill, take a breath, let's do some breathing exercises.
Yeah.
Hyphen, let's relax.
We went from talking about the debate to talking about racism.
And it went real fast.
Really fast.
Really fast.
Oh, wow. We are in an hour. We haven't even talked about the memes yet.
I know. We should probably start getting to that way. I'll go ahead and get to that point. All right, so we have talked a lot about freedom of speech. We have talked about private organizations and companies and what it means to be a private company and what kind of rights that entails. We've talked about hate speech, violent speech, why that's bad. We hope you enjoyed the politics portion of Punchlines in Politics. But now, ladies and gentlemen, for what you've been waiting for, the highlight of my night, at least. I hope it's your night as well, Josh.
Oh, absolutely.
This is definitely the highlight of my night. We get to show you memes, or rather, we get to describe them to you until we get a working camera.
Hopefully, when I come back from school, we can do this live.
Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun? I think. Get on YouTube, put our really ugly faces on YouTube to, you know, all the scrutiny that we can get.
Oh, love that.
Face reveal, guys. All right, well.
Wait, they can see our profile pictures. They know what we look like.
You know what? Don't look at our profile pictures. Just wait until the face reveal, please.
All right, keep going.
Let's go ahead and get into these memes. Joshua, would you like to go first?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So right now, my meme has to do with World War II.
Oh, my.
So you know how all throughout World War II, both sides of the war would drop bombs on major cities, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, horrific events. But somebody has made a meme about it. And it is just one of the technicians saying, we've loaded up some bombs onto the plane today. And the next frame is the plane flying. And the final frame is Gibby from iCarly being dropped from the plane. And all you hear, there's an audio attached to the last screen. And all you hear is just Gibby and then an explosion.
Oh, that's good. You know, it's... It's one of the joys about doing this podcast that we get to show you the memes that really hit home for us.
And it's so funny watching somebody from iCarly drop on Nazi Germany.
Oh, man. All right. Well, it seems like it's time for my meme. And my meme, you know, is a classic. So what we got is we got an image of a Gerber, a Gerber baby food can, like a little bottle of it. You know the ones you've seen your mom trying to force feed it into your little brother's mouth, you know, and getting it all over his shirt, and it leaves a really disgusting puke color stain. We all know the type. So this specific Gerber bottle has a picture, instead of the Gerber baby, a picture of a crying baby on the front. And it says the type of baby food it is entitled Ghost Peppers. And the and the description on the side of the bottle is baby's first heart attack.
Oh, that's so good.
That's that picture.
Oh, when we do this live, we need to have I'll bring my laptop so we can pull up the memes for them.
Yeah. You know what, guys? Let us know. Well, once again, please follow us on Twitter. That's at and punchlines. We're at Twitter at and punchlines once again. And let us know if you'd like us to post our memes there once in a while. Because
we know you guys are out there.
We know you're out there, and we know you kind of like them. So just say something real quick.
We had 24 listeners on episode one.
We did, and we're really happy about that, because we're happy that you would want to.
I know a couple of them are my family. So hi, mom.
Oh, that's great. Hi, mom. Well, Josh's mom. My mom doesn't. My mom doesn't listen to my stuff.
Okay, guys. Kidding. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Okay, we're gonna edit that out.
Yeah. So before we take our leave, I'd like to just say one. I have one more meme. It's really quick, really simple. Most of you will probably think it's not funny. I think it's probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen. For those of you that have seen Lord of the Rings, you remember that one scene where Bilbo is looking down at his ring and is like, after all, why not? Why shouldn't I keep it? So anyway, it's those two frames. It's like, after all, why not? Why shouldn't I? Whatever. And it's just, the caption is, after all, why not? Why shouldn't I post cringe? You know, I think that speaks to every one of us today.
I think that because goes for me posting this podcast episode.
That's a freedom of speech meme right there, guys. Why not? Why shouldn't we post cringe? We have every right.
Let's just continue the trend and post this cringy podcast. All right. Thank you guys for coming to episode 3 of Punchlines in Politics. Next week, I have a special topic that I'm going to surprise Braden with on the spot. So make sure you come for that.
I can't wait.
And we are going to have a special guest who I'm also going to surprise Braden with next week.
Oh, so, boy.
Very surprising and eventful episode coming. They are going to start more regularly now. We had to take a quick break because I had COVID.
Oh, no.
But we are back now. We are back now, and we are going to have a good time.
Absolutely. And you know what, guys? I'm scared, so yeah, follow us on Twitter so I'm not as scared.
Comfort him on the Twitter.
Comfort me on the Twitter, guys.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Yep.
Thank you for listening, guys.